You ask about death. Look unto the living for your answer. Is not life and death but the two sides of the same coin? He who is blind knows not the contrast of day and night, neither does he know who has not lived well. As the earth conceals the life of seeds, so does imagination hold capped in its hands all reality, awaiting the opening of your heart and mind. Eternity itself will speak to you. Fear neither side of the coin. For death but brings you face to face with the King of Kings, and you stand in awe, as the wind swiftly flutters around your head, and you bask in the rays of the sunlight. As God speaks, well done, my son. As you reach the summit, surrounded by radiating rays of light, your silence is transformed into a glorious choral of song. As you reach the summit, surrounded by radiating rays of light, your silence is transformed into a glorious choral of song, and you dance in ecstasy of a new life. Let us turn within once again and recognize that Ilse indeed lives in eternity. We are here for a joyous occasion. Ilse Wenk has graduated to a higher expression of life. How magnificent that in the span she has lived. She was able to complete her growth and on this plane, in that love, that joy, that harmony. We see Ilse first rising into that greater experience of life that lives before her, now in her oneness with God. We revel with her in this great achievement, in joy and harmony, and we say thank you, God, for letting her join the wonderful infinite presence in totality once again. And so it is. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness and for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine and my enemies, and you anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, here is a note of her biography. It is a hot summer day. It is 8 years of age, and after school walks home and thinks about the teacher of religion mentioned that Martin Luther had dedicated his life to God. It starts to rain, cats and dogs, and suddenly a lightning strikes the ground at about 2 feet in front of her. She thinks immediately, "I dedicate my life to God from now on." This is very amazing. We are born out of the heart of God to express himself. From him we came, and to his loving presence we go during each pause in our upward spirit to perfection. We are immortal. We are spiritual beings expressing for a time, using the physical vehicles we call our bodies until no longer need them in our journey of growing in conscious oneness with our Creator. When death comes, this I am appears to be no longer. So now some notes about her family. Ilse Wenck is born on the 27th January 1930 in Osterode in East Prussia. Mother is Frieda and father is Karl Wenck. Her brother Karl Fried, born in 25, was dispersed in the World War No. 2. Her sister, 5 years younger than she, lives in Germany and has three daughters. Ilse was proud of them and was in correspondence with them. She experienced three marriages without finding fulfillment. It was her, in the meantime, her father, the German, had occupied Poland, and her father was transferred to Lodz to be the mayor in that place close to the Russian border. And in January 45, together with her mother and sister, they fled from Poland and luckily reached the last train that was leaving for Germany. They arrived near Frankfurt in Thuringia. Then, from 1947 to 49, she attended the drama school in Erfurt. She fell in Erfurt. She succeeded to be accepted in the drama school of 60 persons who had presented themselves for the test. So there were selected 12, and Ilse was one of these 12. And while she was there at school, she fell in love with a student. He abandoned her in the woods, which was a sad experience for her. Well, then in 49, she had the first engagement and played many beautiful roles. In 1951, she married Horst Buchholz because her mother told her that if she did not marry him, she would no longer be considering her as her daughter. She divorced after 3 years. Also, she absolutely wanted her to leave him. Well, they were in love, but it were misunderstanding in their way of thinking. In 1954, she was engaged in a literary cabaret and toured West Germany for six months. After this experience, she has an engagement at the Radio Bremen as a speaker. She enjoyed it, but she had very little to do. At the same time, her sister Gerda worked in England as kitchen maid and asked her if she would join her. Oh, yes. There she took the chance to study English during her stay for 18 months. She had a personal private teacher, and she loved the English language and was happy to be there and talk to the people. In 56, she joined her parents in Bad Ems. Then in 57, she passed the examination for interpreter in English language at the Chamber of Commerce in Bad Ems. From 1959 to 62, she worked in many offices. In the most important was the American Vickers GmbH in Berlin. And at that time, she meets the second husband, who took all her money and left after the celebration of the marriage. And she never heard from him again, and nobody had any information about him. She divorced. Then from 63 to 67, she worked in Koblenz for the NATO F-104G starfighter production. She enjoyed very this work, and she had various duties to take care of. And all the time she desired to be married, and so she meets Hans Joachim Blankenburg, owner of a big well-going printing shop in Bad Ems, where her parents lived. This was a tragedy of jealousy from his part, the whole life. She left him and divorced. Also, he tried with all possible, giving her all possible gifts and promises to keep her with him, but she preferred to let him alone, to be on her own way. So it is Easter 83, and in Easter, and she attended a seminar given by Dr. Herb Byerly, coming especially from America for giving this seminar. And then, from then on, she started to follow the meditation. And one thing she took home from that seminar was she loved to say, "I like me." And while saying it, she felt uplifted, maybe for the first time in her life. After a second seminar with Dr. Byerly, she enrolled with the courses of the University of Healing. And in 84, she lived for 35 days without food, drinking only water. In this way, she cleansed her body and begins to understand why she is the creator of every thought she thinks and all the adventures she had passed up to now in her life. Then, on the 1st December of 84, she goes from Germany to America, to the campo. Campus. She is a graduate of the three courses, in doctor in philosophy, practitioner and minister of God Unlimited University of Healing. She is also minister of her church, the Golden Fountain in El Cajon, and is affiliated with God Unlimited University of Healing. Could money have brought this inheritance that Ilse Wenk has given to the world, to those in her family, to those her life have touched? These are but a few of the eternal qualities of charisma that Ilse Wenk takes with her on her spirit, on her upward spiral. So we prepare not to die, but to live. The thought of death should slip from our consciousness altogether, and when this great event of our being takes place, it should be beautiful, it should be sublime, a glorious experience, as the eagle freed from his cage soars to its native heights, so our being, freed from the home of heavy flesh, rises to the Father's house and is unafraid. We can think of Ilse in her experience of settling down to sleep in the evening, like unto Jonathan Livingston Seagull when the white gulls came to guide him on higher and higher. They came in the evening then and found Jonathan gliding peaceful and alone through his beloved sky. The two gulls that appeared at his wings were pure as starlight, and the glow from them was gentle and friendly in the high, bright night air. But most lovely of all was the skill with which they flew, their wings tips moving a precise and constant inch from its own. Without a word, Jonathan put them to his test, a test that no gull had ever passed. He twisted his wings slower to a single mile per hour above shore. The two radiant birds slowed with him. Smoothly locked in position. They knew about slow flying. He folded his wings, rolled and dropped into a dive to 190 miles per hour. They dropped with him, streaking down in flawless formation. At last he turned that speed straight up into a long vertical slow roll. They rolled with him, smiling. He recovered to level flight and was quiet for a time before he spoke. "Very well," he said. "Who are you?" They are from your flock, Jonathan. They are your brothers. The words were strong and calm. They are come to take you higher, to take you home.
Home? I have no home, flock. I have none. I am an outcast, and we fly now at the peak of the great mountain wind. Beyond a few hundred feet, I can lift this old body no higher.
But you can, Jonathan, for you have learned it. One school is finished, and the time has come for another to begin. As it has shined across him all his life, so understanding lighted that moment for Jonathan Seagull. They were right. He could fly higher, and it was time to go home. He gave one last look, long look across the sky, across that magnificent silver land where he had learned so much. I am ready, he said at last, and Jonathan Livingstone Seagull rose with the two star-bright gulls to disappear into the perfect dark. Well. Ilse loved his father and her mother. The death of her father caused her a shock. From 1977 to 78, she cares for her mother until she passes on in her arms. She feels unbalanced. Only in 86, at the University of Healing in Campo, she could release her parents spiritually and go their own way. I see her as a very intelligent, fine, and smiling and laughing lady. She likes to say, I laugh my head off, and everybody was laughing. We laughed also to ask her to make the voice of the witch when we were telling stories to the children, and she was very able to do it. We loved it. At the Toastmasters, everybody loved Ilse for her capacity to present her talks. She was a great lady. Well, she studied very well English and had a success in a short time to be able to be recognized as an official translator of the English language. And at the same time then, she started also French and got the same, passed the same examination and was recognized, able to be recognized as an official translator. She learned typewriting, and in 1 month she reached 300 bytes hits per minute, very well. She was well educated, a lovely person, full of diligence, and always gentle to everybody. Everybody in her world loves her dearly, and the spiritual uplifting answers she lovingly gives to whatever questions or problems the people present to her. In about 5 years ago, she left the campus and started living in El Cajon. And there she had her flat. She loved that place. She was happy. And even we still did transcribing and made translation for the University of Healing. She was very, yes, as I said, she was very intelligent, very disciplined in all what she did. And regardless of the unhappy experiences she had in life, she was happy and showed it to everybody and wanted to be in love and to be loving, and she was it with everybody. She indeed leaves a great souvenir of a good example to everybody who knew her. And this we all who knew her know what she was for each of us. I love you.